Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
Here we go.
Leonard Peikoff welcoming you to the Leonard Peikoff Show. I stand for reason, for egoism, and for laissez-faire capitalism, and you will too if you listen long enough. The number to call, 1-888-ON-RADIO, 1-888-ONRADIO. The fax number, 310-306-4925, and the website, updated daily, lpshow.com, lpshow.com. Now, I woke up this morning thinking there's not going to be any news because this is Christmas Eve, and what happens on Christmas Eve? But the Times was full of news that I thought was important, so I want to start off with our news jog. And it includes a little items like Clinton yesterday declared, our president, that is, that he is, quote, no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else, unquote. I'd like to ask you whether you agree with this statement. I'll tell you the context in which he said it. Are you no better than Clinton? Try to form an opinion and give me a call at 1-888-ON-RADIO. Plus, a USO concert for our troops trapped in Saudi Arabia was stopped. It was canceled by our government because we didn't want to offend the Saudi Muslims during the holy month of Ramadan. Wait till you hear a few comments that I have about that one. Plus, did you know that the Syrians, officially endorsed by their government, rioted against and attacked the U.S. embassy in Damascus? Do you know what the United States' response to it was? Take a guess, listen, and I will tell you. Later, our annual Christmas show. Where does the Christmas holiday come from, and what does it really mean? And still later, continuing our Christmas show coverage, everybody during this season preaches peace on earth and goodwill among men. And yet we have war on earth and hatred among men. What happened to peace and goodwill? Why don't we have them? How can we get them? The answer here today on the Leonard Peikoff Show. This is the headline that caught my eye in the New York Times. Clinton extols the quality of mercy. This is the story. President Clinton practiced charity and pleaded for mercy today in his first foray outside of Washington since he was impeached. He announced $850 million worth of federal grants for programs for the homeless, presumably as part of his atonement. He just dug that money out of his bank account, right? He was given long-standing ovations from an audience of Democratic office holders, welfare officials, and African-American clergy members. But he decided that he was going to draw some political lessons from the scripture. So he urged his audience, his allies, and his adversaries to remember that the Bible teaches that charity is not a virtue, but an obligation. Do you get that distinction? What's the distinction between a virtue and an obligation? Do you have an idea?
Well, one you can choose and one you have no choice about at all.
The way the terms are used, obligation is a duty. You got to do it. You can't ask questions. It's like yours not to reason why, yours but to do and die. God has commanded it. Whereas virtue, like honesty, integrity, productiveness, is something you think about using your mind, you decide to do, you reap benefits from it, there's reasons to do it. But charity, he said, is above a virtue. It's something you accept on faith as a commandment from God. And then the question is, what is charity? And the president went on to explain. You know, he usually doesn't explain his remarks, but this time he will want to get into the true spirit of Christmas. He said that charity, quote, doesn't really mean go out and give a bunch of money to poor people so you can feel righteous, unquote. Did you know that? Charity does not mean going out and giving a bunch of money to poor people. So that leaves open the question, what does charity mean? This duty that is imposed on us by God, about which we have no choice, for which there is no reason, but nevertheless, it is a duty that we've got to follow. We thought Jesus said, sell that thou hast and give to the poor, but that apparently is not what's in the president's mind right now. This is his explanation of what charity is. Now listen to this carefully, because it's not very often that people tell their heart and their essence as clearly as this. He said, what charity really means is, no matter whether you're tall or short, whether you're fat or thin, whether you're black, brown, or white, whether you look like a movie star or a person who had one boxing match too many. That's the preamble. Now we get to the core of it. What I'm quoting, whatever the different circumstances of your life are, inside each of us there is a core that is the same, and it is not true that one person is better than another. So he's taking as the guys, well, it doesn't matter if you're tall or short, black or white, but what he's really saying is no matter what you do, no matter how you live, no matter what the circumstances and conditions and choices and behavior and actions of your life, inside each of us there is a core that is the same. And he doesn't mean just we're all human. He means that is morally the same, because he goes right on and says this core that is the same means not one person is better than another. And he followed it up by asking that he be judged as, quote, no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else. No better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else. Now, this is the ultimate in moral egalitarianism. Not economic, which comes later, but moral. There's no better, there's no worse. There's no good, there's no evil. There's nobody that, no matter what he did, can say, I'm better than anybody else, no matter what he did, and vice versa. Inside each of us, no matter how we've lived, there is a core that is the same, and not one person is better than another, and no one should be judged that way. And he says, I only ask that you judge me as no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else. 1-888 on radio. Do you agree? Are you no better than Clinton? In the light of this man's public record, we don't know anything about his private life, but in the light of his public record alone, I want to know if there's one person listening on a station, on the internet, wherever, who would be prepared to stand up and say, I am better than Clinton, judging by what I know of my life and what I know of his life. I don't even ask you to be omniscient. Say, just given the facts available, is there anybody that would say in this country, I am better, or one person is better than another. Now, Clinton is on a kick now to show his contrition, his humility, his desire for forgiveness. This is part of it. The other part was he served lasagna in a Washington soup kitchen. He's led a prayer service on the 10th anniversary of the downing of Pan Am 103, of which he did nothing whatever to bring the killers to justice. And in an act of supreme charity, he read a visit from St. Nicholas in a slow sing-song to a group of school children in the East Room of the White House. He told people that he's working to purge the anger from his heart and trying to follow the example set by Nelson Mandela of South Africa of turning the other cheek to his tormentors. So he's doing everything that he knows to be virtuous, but he's telling us that the core of it, what's keeping him going, is the feeling, I'm no better than other people, but thank God I am no worse. Do you agree? Are you no better than Clinton? Are we all morally the same? In other words, this is the ultimate, as I said, in egalitarianism. You can't say Hitler was worse than George Washington. You can't say George Washington is better than Hitler. You can't say Jeffrey Dahmer, who cannibalized young boys, is worse than Thomas Edison, who created inventions that flooded the world with light and music. And you can't say Edison is better than Dahmer. You can't say that Benedict Arnold is worse than Jesus. Because everybody, and remember, Jesus, according to most dogmas, is not only God, but he's also fully human. And qua human, he's just as bad or just as non-bad as everybody else. This is the ultimate in who are you to cast the first stone. We're all stained with sin. There's, you know, black in the best of us, white in the worst of us. Nobody, therefore, has the right to stand up and say, I am good. Is there anybody listening, 1-888 on radio, who has the courage to just to say on the air, in the hearing of people, I don't say I'm the greatest person in the history of mankind, but there are some people that I'm better than, and I have the courage to stand up and say it. Do you say that? Do you agree, or are you no better than anybody,
10,
including Clinton?
9,
1,
8, 8,
8, 8 7, on radio.
6,
I want to see
5,
if anyone takes
4,
up my challenge.
3, 2,
good stuff.
So if I don't get any answers, I'm just going to give a rundown on Clinton and say, I say it, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. Unless you want to switch into the Persian Gulf, the Saudi
Well, let's
story.
Just first review some of the things of which he is guilty. You know.
Yeah, and what you said about we are all stained with sin just reminded me that puts him fully in the camp of Gephardt. Who was it who said that about Livingston?
We're all imperfect. Gephardt.
Yeah.
It's the same line.
Yeah. And so much for the people trying to say that Clinton's not a Democrat and vice versa.
But to say we're all imperfect is just a generality.
Mm-hmm.
He is saying concretely, well, we're not getting any response, I guess. Either nobody's listening or nobody has the courage to do it. Good idea. So we didn't get a call, right?
Looks like it.
I wonder why now we can't get one call.
Oh, you got all three lighting up.
Leonard Peikoff here at 1-888 on radio. quoting our president as saying, "I ask that I be judged as no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else." Do you agree? Are you no better than this man? 1-888 on radio. I'd like to see if there are listeners who would stand up in our Christian culture where you must never say anything good about yourself and say, as a minimum, whatever I know about Clinton, whatever I know about myself, I'm better than he is. John from Elgin, Illinois. Welcome to the show, John.
Yes, Leonard, thank you. And
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, and I accept your challenge. And I state emphatically that I know I am better. Because in all my life, I've come to find that it's not who you are or what you are, but it's what you think, believe, and what you do in life that really is important.
And you mean to say, John, you have the effrontery to stand and tell the American public that you are better than this pathological liar and woman seducer?
Yes.
Well, I admire you, John. Do you feel a pressure on you to have to, is it difficult to say it?
No, it isn't, because I live my life by principles, and I have made my mistakes in life like all people might, but I have come to terms with myself, and I have no qualms about who and what I am. To thine own self be true.
I accept it. I admire you, John. Can I just ask you one question? And if you don't like it, it's as a Christmas present, just hang up on me. What about if people say, who are you to judge, to cast the first stone, to say somebody is bad or is inferior?
Who am I? I'm a human being who thinks and who has values. And I cherish my values. And when I see what's happening out in this world, it's a very depressing thing to me. But I live on and we'll survive it.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate your call. It took courage to do it, and it took courage to be the first one on the show to do it.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd like to make one statement to you, if I can. Some 30 years ago, I read one paragraph from the New Intellectual by Ayn Rand, and she changed my life completely.
What was the paragraph, can you tell me?
It was the dichotomy of the witch doctor and Attila the Hun.
Oh, Attila and the witch doctor. Yeah,
when I saw that, everything just clicked into place for me.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Someday we'll go into her theory of history and the two types that have been destroying history, the mystic priest caste and the
physical
dictator.
Do you ever find yourself in Chicago area at all?
Oh, rarely. Rarely. But
I would like to come and hear you if you...
We'll try and set it up. Thanks, John. I appreciate you. I got to go to somebody else now. Jason in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hello.
Hi.
Merry Christmas to you, first of all.
Oh, thank you, and a very Merry Christmas to you. Are you no better than Clinton?
I would say that I'm 100% better than Mr. Clinton.
You can even raise that percentage. You're surely better than twice as good as he is.
Well, I wanted to have not only the effrontery, but the absolute courage to say that I've lived my life by principles. I continue to live my life by principles, and he does not. And therefore, by that standard alone, I must be better.
Well, Jason, I think that is admirable. You don't feel any qualm in the face of a culture that says, who are you to cast the first stone, and there's some evil in the worst of us, and the best of us, etc. We're all gray, and who are you to judge, etc. None of that stops you from standing up and saying, I am better person morally than our president.
Not at all, and I say it to people I know all the time, and most people accept it that I'm around, fortunately. Yeah. I've chosen the right kinds of friends and people that I admire, and I would say I was raised that way to a large extent, and both Ayn Rand and you have helped me to further that.
But your parents raised you to think well of yourself?
Oh, very much so.
And if you said something that indicated self-esteem, they didn't jump down your throat and say, you're getting conceited, you've got too big an ego, remember all your flaws, and you're no better than anybody else, and go out and give your best toy to Johnny next door?
Never. In fact, my father was a big advocate of defying a parental edict if it was wrong.
Well, you were raised on independence.
Yes.
And you were able to be independent of the moral code of the Bible.
Absolutely. I think it's a refreshing change of pace, and I know that my parents were an exception, considering, you know, they're in their 60s and I'm in my 30s. But I'm very much grateful for them.
Well, congratulations, Jason, and thank you for coming on and telling us what you honestly think. I appreciate your call. Tim from Manhattan in the middle of New York City. Welcome to the show, Tim. You there? Tim?
Tim's gone.
Have we lost Tim?
Hello?
Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Are you no better than our president?
I am much, much, much better than our president. And I'll tell you just one reason why.
I don't
need a Gallup poll to tell me where I stand on any issue.
Great. Terrific. You have the capacity, the human capacity to think as opposed to counting noses.
Absolutely. And unlike Jason, I was not raised to be independent. I was raised to be a man like Clinton, and I taught myself not to be that way. So I give myself extra credit for having been raised in an immoral manner and seeing that this was wrong and taking action.
If I hold you over the break, can you tell me a bit about how you learned to raise yourself differently?
Yes.
Okay, will you hold on?
Yes, I will.
Okay, we will be back to ask you the simple question, are you no better than Clinton? He says he's no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else in the history of the world. So you are therefore no better than he. 1-888 on radio. What do you think?
Four,
we want to hear your
view. 3-2
Manna from the gods.
Is this a Christmas present? Right.
I've been saving it up for you.
We won't even get to some of these items now.
No, we won't.
To hell with it.
Yep, to hell with it.
This would be a good show for Sunday.
Absolutely. It'll be a good show for tomorrow, too.
We have James in
Jacksonville, Florida.
Is that what JV means?
That's what I asked, yeah.
Jacksonville.
Sorry, I got that backwards.
That's
I abbreviated
okay.
The
yeah,
the city.
Oh, I
the city.
See. That's okay. So yep. We've got Tim waiting and James in Jacksonville, Florida. That's great.
And Tim and James are both newbie.
No, we just lost James. He dropped.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Well, he might call back if...
Why did he drop?
Might be the phone lines. In a word, Rocky, how many lines do we have?
Hold on, I'm taking a call.
Okay. Okay.
You've got enough calls to go through the whole segment on this.
Yeah, okay, but what about... What about the
it?
Rest of this awful stuff? Syria and the Saudi thing?
To hell with it. Do it next hour. Do it the third hour.
We'll do it at the end if
we have. We'll do it at the end if we need to.
Or next week. God, here we spent hours trying to plan. And one little story.
Well, we take note of this as... this one obviously got them riled in a way that others didn't.
Boy, as soon as I saw that story, I leapt right out of the page. And it was way on page, like, 14 or 15.
That's weird.
Hey, there's another one.
That's James called back.
James called back from Jacksonville, Florida?
Okay. Don't bother.
That's okay. We know that part. We're going to go to James after Tim. Got it?
Okay. And back to you in 3, 2, 1.
Leonard Peikoff at 1-888 on radio, quoting our president who said that inside each of us is a core that is the same. It's not true that one person is better than another, and he asked that he be judged as, quote, no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else. And I ask this simple question, are you no better than Clinton, given his record? and what you know about his life. And we have Tim from New York City on the line right now from Manhattan. Are you still there, Tim?
I'm still here.
And you're telling us that you were not raised independently or to have be proud of yourself. How did you come to learn about that trait?
To make it real short, it's a tall order. I was raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, and I took the ideas that were taught in Catholicism quite seriously. I was very devout. Even in the second grade, I remember I believed this stuff, and they teach a thing called catechism, which basically this is our philosophy of religion. If they would, they don't say it that way, but that's what it is. So I read it and I asked questions and really delved in, and would never accept it when they gave me an answer that seemed like it was a brush off. Whenever you ask a question they can't answer, they say, well, that's one of the mysteries of God, and you
that's
can't
right.
understand a mystery, you can only contemplate it.
But that's true, yeah.
After a while, I began to think that's their catch-all phrase when they don't know the answer.
Or have no answer.
Did they
teach you original sin?
Yes, they did.
And I
couldn't understand how I was a sinner just by being born. I couldn't grasp that.
So finally, you asserted your mind and...
Well, what happened was, is I continued to take ideas seriously, but found myself in a moral swamp. I mean, I live in New York City. It's everything is faith. And one day when I was 37, purely by accident, I picked up a book in a bookstore called Philosophy Who Needs It.
Oh, yeah.
And I started reading that. It's a collection of Ayn Rand's essays.
I put it together. I know a little bit about it, yeah.
Well, yes, I know. Actually, that's right. You did put it together. And thank you for that, because I read that and finally began to see that if ideas are true, then they can be integrated. They can become a system of ideas. And as opposed to just, well, here's one thing over here, here's something else over there. And so it was from this that I began to learn how to integrate ideas. And from there, I've read every collection of essays with Ayn Rand's name.
In one sentence, what is the most important thing in pushing you toward the idea that it's all right to have self-esteem and be proud of yourself? Was that just a natural result of functioning and using your mind, thinking and acting? And you started to feel that way, or was there some particular...
If I can remember, I think it had to do with just using my mind and saying, you know, I have a right to live here, too. I have a right to express myself, and because I took the Catholic idea of berating yourself so
right.
much and calling yourself a sinner so much, and, you know, I had a miserable life because of that, and I didn't want to. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to... Well, and also, this seemed logical. For some reason, at an early age, I somehow caught a glimmer of logic.
Okay, Tim, I got to run on to the next person, but I want to thank you and congratulate you and reiterate that I hope you have a great holiday. You've gone through hell, but now you have reached this earth, so enjoy it. Thanks for your call. James in Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, sir.
And
how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you? Going to have a great Christmas, I hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you, are you no better than President Clinton?
I'd like to state categorically in front of the whole world that I am better than President Clinton and his comrades.
Hear, hear. I think that takes a lot of courage. You don't agree with the president, then, that at the core we're all morally the same and no one is better than any other?
Oh, absolutely not. I think it's very easy to look at an Adolf Hitler and some of the other scoundrels that have existed throughout the course of history, and I think it's very easy to say for any of us that I am better than that.
What do you think goes through his head when he says, thank God I'm no worse than anybody else and nobody's better than me? Is he just trying to get off the hook of the impeachment? And basically, he's not thinking at all? Or how would you explain it?
Well, I think that as a person who does not live life by principle, but yeah. lives it by the moment,
right?
And fighting what he interprets as the enemy, and using situation ethics, I think anything is justifiable.
So, in other words, you're really saying he's a pragmatist. He'll say anything to get through the crisis of the moment. And right now, everybody's saying he's terrible, so his answer is, I'm no worse than anybody else, we're all the same.
That's correct.
Without
That's
any
correct.
Implication or understanding of the deeper meaning of what he's talking about.
Oh, absolutely. He has no understanding below the surface level of what he's saying.
You could say then that he has the same approach to evaluating himself as he does to conducting foreign policy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the crisis of the moment with no thought of what's going to happen tomorrow. So this perfectly illustrates the character of the man.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. What I have trouble with is when I look at him on TV and when I read his comments in the newspaper, it is so blatantly obvious what he's attempting to do.
It is blatantly obvious. Does it bother you that he's got like 70% approval rating in the polls?
Well, that's a good point, and I'm glad you mentioned. When this is brought up by my friends, I don't condemn Bill Clinton as much as what he is a reflection of. Bill Clinton exists by himself. He is what he is. But what troubles me as a citizen and as someone who's concerned about the flag and the country is that he is a reflection of what the American people believe and want.
Do you really think that?
Yes, I do.
You think that it would have come out this way if the Republicans had offered a candidate who was alive and not senile in the last election?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I believe that.
Much as I dislike Clinton, I did not vote for him because I was so offended that the Republicans thought I would vote for this senile old creep, Dole. I just boycotted the election completely. I think there's a lot of Americans are in that position.
Well, I guess I turned pragmatist on that one. I had to vote for Dole because I thought he was the least of the worst.
Well, I mean, I guess he was the least of the worst if you could focus your eyes down to that small a size. You know,
yeah,
it's blurry when they're that indistinguishable. Don't you?
I had trouble with it. Yeah, I had trouble with it. And just to show you, to indicate how deeply that shallowness of thinking goes, look what Livingston did this past week.
Yeah.
What do you think? Livingston acknowledged that sex was the issue rather than perjury before a court of law.
Exactly.
And
he ignored the whole essence of the impeachment.
Livingston did not have any idea what he said or did.
And did he do it just in No, you know what I think the real reason was? I remember now. The religious conservatives had been telling him that they were outraged and that they wouldn't have voted for him, and he was facing a rebellion in the ranks.
Well, the point...
I think he took the safe way out.
Yeah, everyone missed the point. The point is perjury before a court of law.
Gotta run, James. Thank you very much
for your call, sir.
And a Merry Christmas to you. And our question is very simply, are you no better than Clinton? He says he's no better than, but thank God, no worse than anybody else. That not everyone, no one is better than anybody else. 1-888 on
10,
radio.
9,
will you stand
8,
up and say
7,
before the world,
6,
I am
5,
better than Clinton?
4,
let's hear
3,
it.
2.
Visit estore.ayinrand.org to hear the rest of this unique recording of The Leonard Peikoff Show from 1998.
If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peikoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.